finding, sorry, excuse me. I inhaled a little bit of the body of Christ. So, oh my goodness. So if I keep doing this kind of hoarse sounding thing, that's what's happening. But thank you, Jesus. By your body, I am healed because of the stripes. Anyhow, good morning, everybody. It is so good. Jim, thank you for sharing my message. That's good. It's good when we're hearing from the same Spirit, right? So this morning, I want to start off by putting this up for you. It's the title of my message, What's Blank With You? So we're a small congregation, but what are words that come up? And I know that depending on your mood, depending on the situation you're in, it's going to have different words, right? Like you might be, what's up with you? You're in a good mood, cordial, what's up with you? Or how about, what's new with you? I know this morning I got to ask Al Moeller, what's new with him? And he told me about his new archery thing that he's creating, because something was new, because it's not been new for a long time. But people know I haven't done anything new, you know. So we have that. Or you can be in kind of a grumpy, frustrated, whatever, and it's like you're talking to somebody, and it's like, what is the matter with you? You know, anybody ever said that to somebody? Yeah. So again, it kind of depends on our day. And you know what? Sometimes we'll even ask that question of ourselves. Oh, Shannon, what is the matter with you? Right? And we keep looking at that. Sorry, just let me do a really good... Do you want to mute me for a sec so I don't... It's not the COVID. Yeah. And so anyhow, there, I think I got it. We'll question ourselves. Thank you, Krista. Just to wash it down. We'll question ourselves on our journey of faith. What is the matter of me? We put ourselves there. And so when we start talking to ourselves that way, like, what's the matter with me? What's wrong with me? We can have a whole stretch of time where we're struggling with that kind of thing. We're not seeing, like, I'm going to be honest, this has been a hard season and for a lot of people. And the question is, Lord, I'm not seeing my answers to prayer. I'm not seeing the promises. What's going on? And people are struggling. And it's really hard to live with yourself sometimes. You know, you start questioning. And then when we question, we start questioning ourselves and we say, what's the matter with us? Well, first of all, we make me angry at God. Where are you, God? Where's the promises? I'm not seeing them. How come? You know what? If you read through the Psalms, you see David struggled with that too. God, look at my enemies are coming at me. Where are you? And the Psalms are full of that. But the Psalms are also full of the answer, the response God had. So we may come to a place where we say, well, okay, God, if these things aren't happening, you must not love me. You love somebody else, but you don't love me. Because if you did, this would happen, or that wouldn't be happening. And we start using our circumstances to measure God's love for us. And I'll just put up this little picture here. We're trying to measure God's love by our circumstances, what's happening. His love for us is based on that, but we know we have to stop right there. And we need to recognize that this is the measuring stick of God's love. And it says, and this is from the Passion Translation, I'm sorry, it might not be really well easy for you to read as it was on my computer. But Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. And that's from the Passion Translation from Romans. That's the measuring stick. So when we get caught in that thinking and that struggle and in that place, we have to go back to the cross. We have to go back to Jesus. We have to go back to God and say, this was the measuring stick of his love. And so then we recognize, okay, it isn't God. I need a Kleenex. I'm sorry, guys, this is such a... especially because we're live streaming this morning. Oh, well, at least you know it's real. So we get into this thinking, well, God, okay, I know it's not you. You're not the problem because you're faithful. I know you're faithful. Well, then, God, if you're not the problem, then it must be me. There must be something wrong with me. I'm not doing something right. I'm not, it must be because I'm not doing enough Bible study, or I'm not praying enough, or I'm not doing, right? And our rules that we've established in our own heart on serving the Lord, walking with the Lord, our faith with the Lord, starts condemning us. And so we feel this condemnation that's not from God, but it's from your own heart, your own belief system. I was thinking of the college student, Kevin, last week as he was sharing, and he was talking about, you know, all the pressures that he put on himself for good studies, and then he was starting to talk about how then all the things that he had to do to be, you know, he should be doing if he was a good Christian, and it was just a burden for him, and I was so burdened to hear that, because that's sometimes what happens to us, right? We get caught up in all the things we need to do for God, because that's what we... You know, I'm not saying we've necessarily been taught, but that's what we kind of come to understand. And then we can't seem to do it, and so we feel condemned. What do we do? And Jesus said this, and this is from the Message Bible. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it and learn, I love this line, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Wow, that's his promise for us. And so when we find ourselves caught in this struggle, let's remember what he said. When we get caught up in the thinking, I'm doing something wrong, this thinking is really self-consciousness. When you become more self-conscious, let's take a look here. Okay, this makes a person more self-conscious. This is what happens. More self-conscious you become, the more self-effort you put into receiving from God. We go, and it doesn't work. And this is what starts happening. It starts depleting our faith. You become discouraged, depressed, deflated, and defeated when we start looking at ourselves. Let's look at Peter here. Let's back up just a sec. I'm just going to, let's not go to, did I go to the right one? No, I went the wrong way, I think. Sorry. Let's just leave it there for a second. When we become self-centered, are we centered on Jesus? No. That's where we'd rather be centered. We want to be centered on Christ. We want him to be the center, our focus. So the first problem with being self-centered is you take your eyes off Jesus. There we are, Peter. We know the story of Peter. Peter was walking out on the water. Jesus said, come. He walked out on the water. But the minute he took his eyes off of Jesus and started looking at the troubled waters, which had been there all along, he started looking at his circumstances. He started to reason. He started to lean on his own understanding, and fear got a hold of him, and he began to sink. And... well, we know the rest of the story. Praise God. He called out for help and Jesus helped him. The second problem with being self-centered as a believer is that we become sin conscious. And when you become sin conscious, you are leaning on your own understanding, your own intellect to justify your actions, your attitude, or even lay blame. You become self-condemning. And in both cases, whether you're trying to justify your actions or blame or become self-condemning, both of them are sinful, if you want to put it that way. They're not of faith. And you see yourself as a victim. Why isn't God helping me? Why is this happening to me? And who's the focus on? Me. Focus is on the self. And then we can kind of blame God, like, what's going on? And well, I'm not going to read all of this from Romans because I read it in the past. Or maybe I can. I think I have some time. Let's do it. Good. Scripture is good, right? Right. Who can be against us? Stop there. Who's against you? Okay. Now, hear what I'm saying when I say this. I don't want to be mocking or making fun of anybody who is in a struggle emotionally. Where is God? What's happening? I'm not doing that. But it's kind of, I call it whiny baby syndrome. That's what I call myself when I get, you're in a whiny baby syndrome here, Sandra. Stop it. You know? And again, not that we don't need to judge anybody for doing that. I'm just speaking to myself. I need to stop myself and say, what are you doing? You're looking at here instead of at him. Who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring charges against those whom God has chosen? Hello, chosen. Hello, chosen. You're the chosen of God. Is he going to bring charges against us? No. It is God who justifies, and he justified us through Jesus, not through your works. Who then is the one who condemns? No one, unless your own heart is condemning you. Christ who died? No. Or more than that, who was raised to life, who is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us? Oh, you see Jesus interceding for you right now? Man, that's awesome. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or COVID or my whiny baby syndrome or who's going to separate us? And so Paul says, he's reading from Psalm 44 where he says, it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to the slaughter. And then he goes on to say, no, let's get out of that thinking. In all of this, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angel nor demons, neither present nor future nor any power, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wowzer. You know, write this down if you're having struggles. Go and read this because you're not a victim. We are more than conquerors through Jesus. These things will not overtake you. So, if you're sitting here and you've been filling in the blank, and you can change that word to me, but what's wrong with me? What's wrong with you, Shannon, as I say? It's time to stop. Because God says this, I want you to stop disqualifying my people. We disqualify ourselves, and he hasn't. But we keep thinking we're disqualified. Well, I haven't done something right. God's not. No. We don't want to think what's wrong with us. This is what we want to think. It's what's right with you. What is right with you? And now we're sitting here saying, but Shannon, we were just talking about being self-centered and putting Jesus in the center. So now you're saying what's right with me? What am I looking at me for? Well, because we're going to take a look at it from a different aspect. We're going to look at it from what's right with you as in Christ in you. That's what's right with you. Christ in you. Just take a minute and just say hi to Jesus. Christ in you. Holy Spirit in you. Oh, man. Christ in us. Colossians. And I'm going to read it to you because it's kind of tiny. 1:13, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his son's love. You know where you're seated right now? In Christ? You're in the kingdom of light and you're in the kingdom of love. Wow, that's good stuff. That's what's right with me. That's what's right with you. Colossians 1:27 says, this is what God made known to us, that the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This has been a mystery. Christ revealed that Christ is in you, in the Gentiles. Wow. And it's your hope and your glory. It's glorious to think of this. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. That's one of my favorite verses, and you hear it just about every time I preach. Because we need to recognize the old man is dead. The old man was crucified with Christ, and the new has come. You, what's right with you? You're a new man. You're a new creation. You're new. The old is gone. And so when things seem overwhelming, just say, stop it. I'm a new creation. I don't have to get into this thinking. Let's move on. 2 Corinthians. And this is from the Passion Translation. We can all draw close to him with veils removed from our faces. And with no veils, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured into his very image as we move from one bright level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Oh, wow, hey. And again, that's the Passion Translation. Don't zoom in. That's Passion. Hey, we're being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. What's right with you? What's right with you is Jesus. You're being transformed into his image. Transfigured. Do you remember the story of James, John, and Peter on the hill, the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus, you know, is transfigured before their eyes, and they see Moses and Elijah, and they're just like, wow. That's what's happening to you. You're being transfigured like Jesus was. It's the same word, the same meaning. We're being transfigured into his likeness, into his glory. One glorious moment after another. I loved what the footnotes in the Passion Translation said about the levels of glory there. It said, the source of our transformation comes from Jesus' glory, and the destination we are brought to is more glory. Transforming glory is the result, so our transfer is the result of us gazing upon the beauty and the splendor of Jesus. Where does our focus need to be? Not on me, but on Jesus, the risen Christ. Amen. We want to have a Christ-centered focus. I love this here, this next one. In Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. If you open the door, he's come in. I love that there's one statement here. I'm going to have a message a little further down the road about, he says, I will dine with him. And there's something there, Jesus sharing a meal. We shared that meal this morning, one of those meals, dining with him. And he with me, and sharing that covenant that is with us. We're the bride of Christ, right? The covenant that was spoken of by Jim. Okay. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. What's right with me? Well, really, not with me, because I no longer live, but Christ who lives in me. That's what's right with me. And so, again, we have to recognize that we want to be Christ-focused. Galatians 3:26-27. So in Christ, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ and you have clothed yourself with Christ. Children, that's what's right. I'm a child of God. That's what's right with me. I'm clothed in Jesus. That's what's right with me. I'm baptized into Jesus Christ. That's what's right with me. It's about him. Move on. In the same way, count yourself or think of yourself as dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Oh, man. You're dead to sin. And we need to continually count ourselves. When we're beating ourselves up over something, we need to stop and remember the communion table. We need to stop and remember who I am in Christ. I'm dead to that old life. I am alive to God in Christ Jesus because of what Jesus did. And we have to consider it. The old King James version is reckon yourself. Meditate. Think about. Remember. And that's what we did when we came to the communion table. We remember what he did, not what we did. And that brings me to the communion verse that Jim shared with us this morning. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of all the sins you've done. No. Remember how wrong you've been. No. Remember all the things you didn't do that you should have done. No, he says, do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup saying this, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, and whenever you drink it, remember how rotten and terrible and horrible you used to be. Remember what you're lacking. Remember, no, he says, remember me. That's what we want to become, Christ-focused, Jesus-centered. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. What is it about his death that's good for us? Everything. Everything. Because of his death, our sin is gone. Because of his burial, death is, our sins are in the grave. Because of his risen life, we have new life and death is done with. Wow. So then, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord's table is in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood. I love what Jim said. When we're busy looking at where we shouldn't be looking, right? Having argues and quarrels and should I vaccinate, well, if you were going to, yeah, all of this stuff. Lay it down. Let's be Jesus-focused, Jesus-centered. And that's where we look. We look to the Lord. Everyone, and when you don't, when you're looking at yourself, how many of you, and I know there's lots of you, and I'm sorry that there are a lot of churches that still believe that when we come to communion, we sit in this time and we look at how nasty we've been and ask for forgiveness. That's their thinking. But that isn't Jesus-focused. That's self-focused. That's becoming self-conscious. That's becoming sin-conscious. And what Jesus is saying, remember me and what I did with all of that. And it's a done deal. And we are thankful for that. So when we're eating in an unworthy manner, it's because we're looking at it from our selfish, self-centered perspective, not him. And then what we do is then we feel guilty, we feel ashamed, we feel rotten, and we bring condemnation and judgment upon ourselves. Not him. We've already read the scripture back in Roman who said, it's not me, it's not God, Jesus who died, is he judging? No. We bring it on ourselves, and so we don't want to do that. We want to take our focus to Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith. So that is why there are weak and sick and a number of us who have fallen asleep. But if we are more discerning with regards to ourselves, in other words, what's right with me because of Jesus, we wouldn't be in some of these situations. Nevertheless, let's focus on Jesus. Amen? And again, I didn't mean to re-preach everything Jim said, but I hope, were we in agreement? We're so in agreement. To me, that just speaks of the Spirit, right? The same Spirit We're going to look to him. We're going to discern Jesus. We're not going to search for sin. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Now, you guys need to know, 2 Corinthians 5 is probably one of my favorite chunks of scripture. And so I go all over there. You know, this is where it talks about us. Well, let me read what it says here. So from now on, regard no one from the worldly viewpoint or worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ this way, we do so no longer. This is the scripture that talks about we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This is the one that says that we're the new creation in Christ. This is the one that says that we're ambassadors of God to take reconciliation, that we have been given the spirit of reconciliation and that we are to go and reconcile to the world. So even when we don't want to be looking at ourselves for sin, and that, we don't want to be looking at other people, even those that we would call sinners that don't know the Lord, we don't want to be looking at them from the same worldly view. We want to look at them through the loving eyes of God, through the loving eyes of Jesus. And God said in John 3:16, for God so loved just the ones that were going to believe. No. For God so loved the world that he gave. Man, I want to tell you, if you have unbelieving friends, unbelieving family, unbelieving, the Lord loves them. And I want you to just think, keep your eyes centered on Jesus when you're praying for them. Lord, thank you that you died for them. Lord, thank you that you're going to open their ears to hear them, hear you knocking on the door of their heart. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you gave everything. And don't get caught up in the fear, because the fear becomes, you know, oh my gosh, they're not saved. They're going to die and go to hell. No, focus the other way. Because sometimes it's about our fear, you know, wanting to be relieved ourselves. It's not even... Well, no, that's not fair. I'm not even going to go there. I won't say that. Okay. So we don't want to view people from a worldly point of view, and we don't want to view ourselves from that that attitude and that idea. We want to view ourselves the way Jesus views us, the way our Heavenly Father views us. Counting yourself dead to the old life and alive in Christ, reflecting his glory. Do you remember the scripture we read back in the passage, just a few back from the Passion Translations? Let me go back there for just a sec. Where it talks about that we are mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. That's what you are. That's what's right with you. Did you know you're reflecting the glory of the Lord? Do you know that everywhere that you step, you're taking Jesus? Because where is Jesus? He's inside of you. And when we come with loving eyes and loving hearts and seeing people and the sinners who are caught up into things that, you know, if we meditate on it, can make us crazy. But come with the love of the Lord that is in you. Man, I'll tell you what, love is powerful and it'll change the world. Amen? And you are reflecting his glory. That's what's right with you. I want to end here with this scripture. It says, it's for freedom's sake that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and don't let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Jesus has set you free. Jesus has paid the price and brought you out of it. He says, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. So focus on Jesus. And when you find yourself getting into that, what's wrong with me, or what's... Stop yourself and remember the cross. Remember what he paid for you. And that you can rise out of that because of who you are in him. What's right with you is Jesus. And we don't want to get burdened down with that yoke of slavery, or even all the things I have to do to get God. We don't want to be burdened with that. I want you to focus on Jesus. Let's stay focus on him. Let him be your center. You know the song that we sing, Jesus, be my center? Yeah. Jesus, be the wind in my sails. Jesus. That's what's right with you. Amen? Lord, amen. Okay, well, let us pray. and we're going to pray. Thank you, because I was going to say earlier, please let us not forget to pray for those names in the box there. Why don't we stand? We haven't done that in a while, right? Oh, Father, you are so, so good to us. So, so good that you would not even keep your son, but you let him come to die for us. And Jesus, we're thankful for the great love. Lord, that you came, that you died, you took our sins and our burdens, took them to the grave, all our sickness and disease, and left them in hell. And when you rose again, you rose with new life, resurrection life. And that is ours now. We've been baptized into you, Jesus. And we thank you for that. Oh, Lord, you're so, so good. Lord, you are so, so good. We thank you that you intercede for us in the heavenly realms. And Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit, quicken to our hearts and our minds when we are coming into a place of self-condemnation and self-centeredness and have moved our focus off of Jesus. Oh, Lord. So, Father, right now we come before you and we thank you. We can boldly come before you in our times of trouble. And, Lord, with people who are struggling with sickness and disease and family issues and just loneliness and all that this time in our world has brought, we thank you. We can focus on you. We say, by his stripes be healed in the name of Jesus. By his stripes be set free. By his stripes know to be disease free. Rise up. Rise up in wholeness and health in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you meet the needs of those who are feeling lack at this time, because they aren't. For the cattle on 1,000 hills are yours, and the riches of the kingdom of yours are to give to your kids. So bring the needs, meet the needs, Lord. We thank you that you are meeting them. Bring the jobs where they need jobs. And Father, we pray for wisdom for our government, and we pray for a turning of the tide, that we can gather together as a body again, the fullness of the body. And again, we thank you and praise you. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and all the chosen ones said, amen, so be it. Go bless, brothers and sisters. So good to see you. Can't wait till we are able to fill this place with everybody, even though we finally have our online.